If you Thank you. sinner's plunge beneath that flood, whose on their guilty stains, whose on their guilty stains, whose on their guilty stains. Sinners plunge beneath that flood,
can be heard. I don't know what the deal is with that. That was all the way down. Probably for me, I probably blast them out here when I'm here on Wednesday or Sunday. Hope you are all doing well out there in YouTube land or Sermon Audio land as soon as this goes over there. It's just really easy for me to do broadcasts like this impromptu on YouTube. I just saw a few other things that I'm going to talk about, I think, Monday. My schedule's kind of a little bit eased up for a few things. I think I can squeeze in a broadcast on Monday. And I want to talk to about something that I just saw. So anyway, we'll save that for Monday. But right now I want to talk to you about what's going on here in everything with this topic of the spirit of envy. And we'll deal with that a little bit. But let me say hi to everybody on here quickly. We've got Daniel Hughes on here, Carrie, Jesus is Lord on here, my lovely wife on here, Blaine Medlin, how are you? Big Whale, Pilgrim Lady, Joe McDonald, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Carl Winters, and NLN, whatever that is, Carrie Acker. And Utah won, whatever that means. Well, now, yes, I can tell you that YouTube is censoring me. I know that because my wife doesn't get the notices. A lot of people don't even get the notices. I've got to let people know that want to listen that we are on because I'm not getting, I mean, they're just like totally just... whatever. Anyway, but that is, it is what it is. So whatever. But, you know, we will just deal and minister with the people that we have to minister to right before us in that sense. And we'll keep going here. Got a lot done this week, got moving around a lot, but now I'm at a point now to where I can't move forward as of right now. So you pray for us as we continue to prepare for all of those fun things that are coming to pass here. And as we prepare to get things going, I still want to get my house up sometime in May. I was hoping May 1st, but if that's not a reality, then we'll do it a little bit later. But anyway, it'll be sometime in May, Lord willing. And then I need to go on vacation sometime also, which will be a good thing to do, especially after all this stuff. So, good morning, John Robinson. I hope you're doing well. So, Saturday morning here, I don't have your Saturday morning cartoons, but what I do have is a Saturday morning Bible study. So, anyway, but we'll get to that in a little while here. So I probably will have time Monday, it looks like, to do a broadcast, and we'll talk about that later on. But I'm looking forward to that, actually. I just saw something that sparked my interest and that I want to talk about. It's a current events thing. So I just saw something that, man, I'll tell you what, I gotta do some exploring on that one. Anyway. But so we'll get to that. But praise the Lord, my back's holding up well and getting stronger, and I'm able to move stuff around, which was good, and I'm not feeling it too awful bad in that case. But praise the Lord for that. Anyway, it'll be exciting to see just what we can get accomplished here in the weeks to come. With that, but I trust you're doing well and following the Lord and being faithful to God in all that you do. I hope that you are anyway, and that you're staying in your Bibles and you're reading and praying and seeking God's face and following the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. You know, we're going to talk about in 1 Samuel chapter 18. There's just some verses here. There's some things going on here. We're really not going to stay on that. We're really going to talk about this spirit of envy. And that's what I kind of want to talk to you about. That spirit of envy, the spirit. Now, we're going to go to this verse, really. Actually, where we're going to go is James 4:5. Because here's really where it is. Jody Hammond, how are you? Are you off Saturday morning here? Instead of Saturday morning cartoons, you're listening to Saturday morning Cooley. Here we have it, this verse, James chapter 4, verse number 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? I think what this verse is explaining to us is that every man alive, every man and woman alive, has to deal with this thing called envy. There's dwelling in our flesh where that no good thing is. That spirit that lusteth to envy. You know, that's it right there, isn't it? There's that spirit in us. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? No, it doesn't. In other words, he's asking us this question. For a reason, to prompt our intellect and our mind and get us to search our hearts. All men have envy. Some men are taken by envy. Consumed with it. There's a pattern there. But the Bible says that in that sin nature, in our flesh that dwelt in us, where that no good thing is, there's a spirit that lusteth to envy. The spirit that dwelt in us lusteth to envy. Lust to envy. I know what that's like. You do too, don't you? You see things that people have, or situations or scenarios, and you start to lust after that situation. I'm not even talking about a woman or sexual things or anything like that. It's in a child, you can see it as a young child. When one child has the toy, the other one's willing to bash it over the head and take that toy or push them down and take that toy. Why? That's our fallen nature. The scripture doesn't say in vain. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Mm-hmm. Now this definition of envy, we all battle it. As a saved person, you are still going to battle. James is speaking to saved people. And James is saying to saved people that, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? If we read the context of the whole chapter, I preached an entire series many years ago called The Wars of James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? My brethren, put down lustful thoughts. They can be lustful sexual thoughts. Or lustful thoughts of discontentment. Put them down. Bring them under subjection to Christ. Is it lawful for me to think this way? Is it lawful for me to focus on such a thing? Is it lawful for me to allow my thoughts to go in that direction? No, it is not. So then therefore, if it is not lawful, then we put down vain imaginations. Because there's a spirit that is in us that lusteth to envy. There is that spirit. That it lusts to envy. And we cannot hate that spirit enough. We cannot despise that spirit enough. We cannot war against that spirit enough. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? What's my members? These are my members. This flesh. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. When you're lusting to envy, it's because you're not asking God for things that you need. but things that you want to consume it upon your own lust. Look what he says here. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. What does that word amiss mean? Wrong, faulty, out of order, improper. Contrary to propriety, truth, law, and morality. So you have these wars and these fightings of lusts inside of your heart. We do, that we deal with. And we have to put them down. We have to place them under subjection of Christ. They are unlawful thoughts. They are unlawful things. And I'm talking to saved people. Lost people are driven by all of those things. But saved people can be snared by them if they're not careful. You and I can be snared by such things. David did not put down that lust in his heart. And he ended up stealing something that wasn't his and then killing. Look at this. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. See, when the spirit of envy is there, you may ask God for something, but it may not be, he may not want it for you. And when you don't get it, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have. It's in your heart to have that at any cost. You'll destroy everything around you to get what you want. If you're driven by lust. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. The only reason why you're asking it isn't a wrong and faulty reason for it. So you're asking for it. You know, it's interesting to me, just different things that over the years, even with like my move of my house, there was always the, you know, I was good before I was going to move, but the reasons were wrong. And God told me, no, you go back. And now I'm praying every reason to stay, not to go. And the Lord's like, no, it's time. Because I'm comfortable now. I'm content. I don't need anything else when it comes to that. I'm fine. But there's still, it's not about me. It's about others. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So what is envy really? What is it? We should examine what it is. And by better understanding envy and what it is, we can better deal with it. We can put it down. So that word envy, it means to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another, to repine at another's prosperity, to fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another, and to hate him on that account. It's very real that you and I can feel this way sometimes. When maybe we have wanted something for a long time and we see somebody else that has it and they're swimming in it and they're blessed with it beyond measure, and it can make us envious. Envy will lead men to do a lot of terrible things. I'll show you that. Envy is a very dangerous thing, and it must be put down. Many times the things that we envy, perception-wise, they're no better. If a man envies somebody else's wife or somebody else's situation like that, you know, they don't know that wife. They don't know the struggles that other brother has with his situation. Or they envy some other person's situation or stature. You have no idea what that person is going through, the challenges that person is having, the trials. You see sometimes the glittering and the gold of things, but you don't see the reality of dealing with those things on a daily basis. See, that's the thing that people don't understand. With envy, much of it is perceived in your own mind. Because though all of us are blessed by God in different ways, we all have those trials and struggles. And each one of us has those things that you're like, oh, well, if I was them, I'd be happy because they have this and I don't have that. No, if you had what they had, human nature would be that you'd be doing the same thing like they're probably doing in their mind, looking at something else and thinking, you know, if I had what that person had, then I would be happy. I would be content. No, you wouldn't. If you're not content now, you won't be content then. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So if we are content with what God gives us now, and what we have now, like Paul said, he had learned that whatsoever he was, estate he was in, therewith to be content. How did he learn that? God did it to him. If he abounded and all his needs were met, God taught him how to abound properly. Then God taught him how to deal with prosperity. Then he taught him how to deal with abasement, not having everything that he wanted, always. Not able to deal with certain things. No, the trials, listen to my friend, listen to me. Where God has you right now is exactly where God wants you in that sense. Barring any wickedness of sin that you're doing that God hates, I don't mean that. I mean whatever state you are in, that you are to be content where you're at in the situation that you're in. Because those trials are the exact trials that God wants you to have. You know, I've got friends that they have, just like me, they have wants and desires of different things. And the present trial that they're going through, God is teaching them to be content with where they are. To be content with what they have, what God has done for them. You see, that's the greatest lesson that we are taught in life as a Christian, is to be content with what things that you have. Envy is the opposite of that. It's looking outwardly at somebody else. And saying, man, kind of wish I had what they had. Maybe their wife or their situation or their... No, God gave you the wife. God gave you the financial situation. God gave you everything that you have. Barring you being lazy and not working hard and not doing right and not bettering your family and everything else like that, I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is overall, in the general sense of duty and everything else, God gave you exactly what you need. Oh, if I had their house, or if I had their skills, or if I had their family, or if I had their, capabilities, or their, or this or that, and look around at all those things. No. If you used what God gave you, God gave you the wife that you need right now. The wife that you have right now, the present level that she or you are at spiritually, God gave you that woman. So my wife can't handle this, or she can't do that, or she can't do this. I know, brother. That's why God gave you to her. So you could help her, teach her, train her. And to the wife that says, you know what? I wish my husband, maybe he was more like that man over there, and he could do this and he could do that. No. You pray for your husband to be more like Christ. And you come alongside your husband and you be that helpmeet that he needs to perfect him in that one flesh relationship. Your goal is to be there to help perfect your husband. That's what you're there for. Not to say, oh, I want my husband to be like this man, or this person, or that person. No, that's envy. How about I want my husband to be more like Christ? Because then what that's going to do is it's going to take you to the scriptures. It's going to make you say, you know what, I want my wife to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Christ. I don't need to be like brother so-and-so. I need to be like Jesus. That's who I need to be like. All of us have that desire to be more like Christ. Not more like brother so-and-so or this or that in that sense. But more like Christ. So we look at these scriptures, you know, envy. You know, Saul had this envy for David. Saul envied David. He looked at David, and David had the power of God on him, and David had God's spirit, and Saul didn't. David behaved himself wisely, and Saul was always trying to kill him after that. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of the war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of all Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You know, Saul was angry with David from that day forward because the Spirit of God rested upon him. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast out the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Hear that same music before that soothes Saul, excites him to kill David. Learn then about that reprobate, though, in that mind. The hate shall be greater than the love wherewith they love. You learn a lot of lessons in betrayal. And you know, one of the major lessons that I learned about being betrayed is that a lot of it is based off what drives betrayal is envy. Pride, envy, hate. It drives betrayal. It drives it. Absolutely. Envy's a killer. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. You know, you got to be careful as you watch these people. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination of the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The perverse people, the froward are the perverse, unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient. Envy thou not the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. Don't start acting like them. Right? Don't start oppressing and acting like them. Good morning, Becca. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Look at Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So a sound heart, a heart that is content, that is praising and thanking God. This is a medical issue right here. It is. My heart affecteth my health. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. But, here's the contrast, envy, the rottenness of the bones. Some of the most unhealthy people you find will be the most envious people. Discontent by somebody else's prosperity. They fret or grieve. Mordecai had it. Haman had it towards Mordecai. Haman wanted to kill Mordecai. He hated Mordecai. He was ate up with it. And what did he end up doing? He ended up dying. Why did he end up dying? Because of his envy. His hate. It's something that the Lord has to work out of us. Even as servants of the Lord, over time, we've got to work that out of us. God works it out of us. He teaches us to be content with what he's given us. And by the way, we all Christians, have to battle envy. Because all people. All people. have to battle envy. It's human nature. It's a spirit in us that lusteth to envy. It's human nature. Fallen human nature. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. You will rot away with that spirit. If you give over to that spirit, it will rot you. Right? Here's another one. Let not thine heart envy sinners. You look over at sinners, say, man, they have it easy. Their life isn't like mine. I think it was Heman talked about that. They don't lay awake at night and worry about their sins or think about their sins. They don't have the anxiety. They don't have the stress. That their reins are not like our reins. They don't live by the same rules that you and I live by. They get away with whatever they want, and I look at it. And you know, if you're not careful, you'll start envying sinners. You'll start envying their liberty to sin and live wickedly. Man, they don't have to go through what we have to go through. No, they're going to go through hell. They're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And listen to me, if you're not saved, get saved by the grace of God today. Call upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of your unrighteousness and give you a home in heaven that you don't deserve, but that He died and paid for. And He will marvelously save you and change you and make you a new creature. But you know something? God's people have to be careful not to look at sinners. Oh, you know, they don't have the financial troubles we have. They don't have to deal with what we have to deal with. You know, they don't have to do things the way we do them. We have a conscience, and God pricks our conscience, and we can't lie, we can't be deceptive, we can't act like they do. They get the deals, they get the good deals. They get the opportunities that we don't get. They're not hated by everybody. If you're not careful, you'll envy sinners. You'll look at them and say, you know, they're better off than me. In that sense. Let not. That means you can stop it. And that means you have to stop it. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't let it do that. Wait a minute. Are you saying that, or is God telling me that I have to proactively fight that? Yes. Because your flesh is naturally bent on envying sinners. I'm going to say this to you again. Your flesh and my flesh is naturally bent on envying sinners. Envying their ways. Envying their outcomes. Envying their prosperity. Envying everything but their end in the lake of fire. So you have to let not, you have to hinder it, you have to stop that, you have to cast that down. Don't let your heart envy sinners. How do I do that? But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, that we reverence and fear God's name and God's word. And it's like, nope, I'm not going to let my heart do that, because that's against God's word. I'm going to fear God. He told me in his word what to do, so I'm going to fear him. I'm going to reverence his word. He commanded me not to live my life like them. He commanded me not to walk like them. He commanded me not to live their lives, not to follow their pernicious ways, by whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. I'm not going to envy their prosperity. I'm not going to envy what they do. I'm not going to envy sinners. But I'm going to be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Right? That's what I'm going to do. That's what you and I have to do. And we got to fight it. Even in the ministry, a pastor has to, and he sees other pastors. Comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. Other men that God uses, whatever the case may be. It's like, nope, you know what? You grow in the Lord and do what God's called you to do. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for where he has you. Thank God for his gifts for you. Thank God for the way that he uses you. Thank God for the ministry he's given you. Thank God for the family, the wife, the children, the health, whatever it is, the trials, the challenges that you face. Thank God for all of that. Don't envy sinners. It's a trap. See, Proverbs is a book of wisdom, so we're being told here from the book of wisdom, look, let not thine heart envy sinners. If I focus on those sinners, if I focus on their prosperity, if I focus on what I don't have, I'm going to be in trouble. But if I focus on all the goodness of God to me, and that my life is not governed by the things that I have or don't have, it is governed by the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord. That's how my heart is governed. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? The wrath of a man is very cruel. Oh, I've seen it. Man can be so cruel. And the anger is outrageous. But there's no man alive that is able to stand before envy. When a man becomes envious, he is capable of anything. When he's given over to envy, he is capable of anything. When she is given over to envy, she is capable of anything. Very dangerous. Very dangerous place to be. Let's see. Check out something here. Give me a second. Oops, there it is. John Gill says, but who is able to stand before envy, which is secret in a man's heart, and privately contrives the works and the ruin of another, and against which there is no guarding? All mankind in Adam fell before the envy of Satan. Fell before the envy of Satan, for it was through the envy of the devil that sin and death came into the world. Abel could not stand before the envy of Cain, nor Joseph before the envy of his brethren, nor Christ before the envy of the Jews, his bitter enemies. And where it is, there is confusion in every evil work. James 3:14. I'll turn there real fast. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now let me tell you something, friend, what God showed me today when I was doing this study. I had men betray me in the past and things happen. And I've spent years wondering why some of that betrayal happened in the way that he did. And today I believe the Lord finally gave me the answer. After 4 years or so of wondering why. Envy. Envy. Abel could not stand before the envy of Cain. What did Cain do? Cain betrayed him. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Christ was betrayed by the Jews. An envious man is worse than an angry and wrathful man. His wrath and anger may be soon over, or there may be ways and means of appeasing him, but envy continues and abides and works insensibly. You know, I had so much confusion about it, right? And I could not understand why things happened the way that they did. And then God showed me here today, finally, after all these years. Showed me after all these years is envy. That's why. Look at it. There was confusion. There is a lack of understanding. I couldn't figure it out. I wondered why did that have to happen that way. But look what it says about it. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Envy. It all literally came down to envy. Somebody wanting something that wasn't theirs. Somebody desiring to have, right? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore... Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelt in us lusteth to envy. So, that's what the Lord showed me. Like, envy. Well, because it doesn't make sense to you. Why? Because it's confusion. Because it was a hidden motive of the heart. The whole time it was a hidden motive of the heart. And that's why it's worse than an angry man, a wrathful man. Envy will destroy. Or attempt to destroy. And that's what happened. It was envy. Matthew 27:18. Pilate knew, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. The Jews delivered Christ up and betrayed him. Why? Envy. Envy. He knew their motive. Pilate could see their motive. It was plain. They were envious of him. Mark 15:10. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Look at the motive that we find is revealed here. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. What happened? They moved with envy. So they went after him to destroy him. They were moved by it. Look at Acts 13. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. What happened? They were envious. See, people hide that motive in their heart. And we all have it. Envy. We all have to battle it at some degree. Every man alive. But those that don't, those that can't because they're not saved, they're driven by it. They're completely driven by envy. They're taken by it. They're consumed by it. To the point of wanting to kill. Acts 17. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I feel like I've been through this before. There was an assault on the house of Jason. I think that's true. I've experienced that. Been through that before. But what moved them? Envy. Envy moved them. By the way, it's one of the end time sins that are so prevalent. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Wow. Makes a lot of sense when you start to understand why people do what they do. Or why we as human beings do what we do. Save for the Holy Ghost, you and I would be just like it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Look at this. Envy is part of it. See, this is a big part. You know? This is a big part of why people do what they do, and it's a big sin in the end times. You know, it's a big sin in the end times. That will be prevalent, the Bible says. And we can see it. We can see it. Philippians 1:15, though. Paul said, some indeed preach Christ even of envy. Right? That is the purpose. They were jealous of the influence of Paul. And which supposed it was a good opportunity to diminish his influence and to strengthen their own cause, they would preach Christ. Right? They would do that in order to pull people away from Paul. Let's see. Give me a second here. I want to read you what John Gill says about that. I like reading John Gill's stuff. I don't agree with him 100%, but he's got some good things that he says. Let's see here. Oh man, some people write whole books for one section. Let's see. We've got... verse number 15. It's not envy to Christ, he says, whom they preach, but envy to the apostle. They envied his gifts, his usefulness, and his success in the ministry, and he being now in bonds, they thought it a proper opportunity to exert themselves and set up preaching Christ as he had done in the clearest manner, hoping they should meet with the same success and gain great honor and applause in the church, and even to be able to transfer themselves that glory which belonged to the apostle. As for their strife and contention, of which they also preached Christ, it was not with other faithful ministers of the word about the doctors of the gospel, for in these they were agreed with them, at least in appearance and profession, and in their ministry even did they raise strifes and contentions about words, from which comes envying among the brethren, for this would not have answered their ends, which were vain glory and popular applause. But they strove and contended one with another, who should preach Christ best and clearest, or with the apostle to get his glory and honor from him. They strove out to vie in one another. So they did it basically to draw men away after them. And that's why some people do what they do. To draw men away after. So they're not doing it to really reach people. They want to draw men away into their following or into their... There's people that do that in churches. They come into churches and they cause trouble so they can draw men away after them. They're really wolves is what they are. Paul says this, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute. Paul said, as lost men, he said this, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared toward all men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, fearing the Lord is a good way to end that spirit of envy to take us over. Saul would continue to lay the traps. Saul would continue to be envious, but the Bible tells us to recognize that spirit. Do you think the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelt in us lusteth to envy? Right? So recognizing it, let not that spirit, right? Let not thine heart envy sinners. So that's the second way we don't do it. Okay, number one, we recognize that spirit is in our flesh. And it's fleshly. Number two, we don't let our hearts envy, let that fallen nature take control and envy. Number three, we walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. We focus on being thankful for what God has given us. Realizing that any of these idle thoughts, if we allow them a place. Number four, we cast down. Always, 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 trouble starts in the mind and the heart. Never anywhere else. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what? If the thoughts are in obedience to Christ, my hands, my eyeballs, and other things won't give over to sin. I won't be envying. I won't be living my life like that. I won't be doing that. Why? Because my thoughts, when those thoughts come in, which they will, recognizing that they will is very important, that I have the duty and responsibility to cast them down. and give them no place. And let this mind, number five, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That I let this mind be in me, that mind of Christ. That I follow the mind of Christ. Number five or six, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm thinking on those things. And I remember not that I speak in respect of want, number six is what we need to talk about. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I remember First Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Be therewith content. Battling the spirit of envy. We must battle it. We must soldier on and fight through it and deal with it. We can't ignore it.
I've never had much in this world below. City where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir. I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my Father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
I'm depending on heaven for my home in the sky. Already I'm heading for that sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with a king. So shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my Father? He cares about you.
He cares about you.
He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
He's the King of all glory.
He's the King of all glory.
His praises I'll sing.
The poor boy
who owns everything.
Owns everything.
Amen. All right. Shake hands with the poor boy. So God teaches us that contentment, and And that to put down and cast down those things. And you and I have to continually do that. And ask the Lord to give us thankful hearts. Amen. All right, I'm going to play another song. If you all want to say hi on here, and maybe you're listening for the first time, or maybe you've listened for a while, I'll play a couple songs here, and then we'll get out of here.
Light in the darkness, sail our day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows fair haven land. Clear once the voyage sailor now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat sailor, oh, for the shore.
Oh, for the shore, sailor, oh, for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. In the lifeboat sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surge's dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Light gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds and darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Save in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Pull for the shore.
Another one here. Let's see. Let's see, let me get that. Here's Carl's favorite one. We'll play this one.
Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord, ever since He saved my soul. I'll shout it from the mountaintops, Christ Jesus made me whole.
Rejoicing, singing praises always till He takes us home.
Hola di, 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 hola di. That when we die, the heavenly gates He'll hold. So each day here we'll walk with Him in liberty and hope.
Get out of here, go do some praying, and then get home and take care of some business and do some things there, and Just spend some time with my family. I'm enjoying the extra time that I am with my family here over the last week or so, and it's good and much needed, I think. And anyway, if you would like to give to our ministry, this is how you do it. You go to oldpathsbaptistchurch.org, or you go to our sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page. You can click on Give right here if you see this, or you can send it salvationpreacher@gmail.com. or PastorCooley@iCloud.com, you can send through there. If you'd like to give to our ministry through those places, or you can mail us something down here, and God has taken care of us. We are blessed, and we are appreciative to all that the Lord has done for us and how he uses you and others to give to his ministry and to support the work that we do to get the gospel out all over the world. And we thank God for that. So a lot of plans for the future, but no time to talk about those right now. But tomorrow we will be broadcasting the message, the sermon, 10:45 Central Time, 10:45 a.m. Central Time. And so you can listen then if you'd like to, or watch it on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. If you go there, you can listen live there. And then in the afternoon message at 4 o'clock, we'll say, somewhere around that time, we'll have another installment on the history of the Donatist on Baptist History 101, and you can listen then for that as well. Otherwise, God bless you all. Take care, and have a good afternoon, evening, or whatever it is where you're at. Anyway, God bless you all.